This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome to the Chelsea Fancast, the in-off-the-post little shows that we do when you lot out there do send us loads of fantastic emails, which you always do. And, you know, we did a show last night and we had so many emails that we didn't get through it all. So we're back again for over a bit of, double bubble. Well, it would be if we were getting paid, but you know what I mean. So here we are. Anyway, it's in-off-the-post, Chelsea Fancast 1101. And I am, of course, Stamford Chidge, and I'm joined as ever, by the delightful Mr. Jonathan Kidd.
Oh, lovely word, Chidge. Thank you so much. Thank you. I was going to impersonate someone else for a moment and deny that I was Jonathan Kidd, but then...
That would have been amusing.
That would have been foolish, though, I thought.
I would have been amused.
I was going to assume another character. I'll do it another time. I won't do it.
All right.
I was trying to actually have difficulty deciding which character it would be. That was the difficulty. So... whether I was going to make him northern, whether I was going to make him an old bloke, I don't know. Anyway, who cares? Anyway, so yeah, we've got a whole series of excellent emails, as always, getting nearer and nearer to the time that it is now.
Yeah,
in the middle of the break before Tuesday's second leg against Borough, where one can only hope that we will be slightly better than we were in the first leg, where we were complete. Shite.
Yeah, it's really, it's traumatized you, I think, is the word for...
Completely, because I keep going on.
You do, you do. Everything's black at the moment because of that. You seem to have conveniently forgot that we beat Fulham since then, but, you know.
Did we?
Yeah, we did. It's true. It's a fact.
That's probably the reason, then. I must have just eradicated that from my my memory banks, to quote from Star Trek. Good.
Borough drew one all at home with Rotherham today, and Rotherham are bottom of the championship.
That shows you really the standard of football we played against them.
Yeah.
So you've merely just.
Sorry, I've made it worse, haven't I?
Blackness of
my
mood.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Never mind. Right. So we've got, as you rightly pointed out, we've got an overflow of emails this month. You see, this really kind of serves us right, really, for not having done a show for a month. So I only have myself to blame.
A surfeit. No, that implies that there are too many.
No,
there aren't. We are happy.
Exactly. There's never too many. But there were too many to do all in one go last night.
We started expiring through exhaustion.
Well, I think also from cider in my case, but there you go.
In your case, from me was exhaustion.
Indeed. Yeah. Anyway, are you going to kick us off? Actually, no, don't kick us off yet because I've forgotten to read my usual bits. Right, as ever, don't forget you can listen to the show live.
Live!
Every Monday and Friday, and sometimes on a Saturday, as we are now, at 7:30 by going to Mixlr, which is chelsea-fancast.mixlr.com, where, of course, you can join in the chat by posting on the live chat page, as many, many do. Now, you can also follow us on all the socials, at Chelsea Fancast. Listen and subscribe on Acast, Spotify, Apple, and all good podcast platforms.
Podcast providers.
Yes. Indeed. And make sure you leave us a glowing five-star review. I don't quite know what that injection was about. And the other thing, of course, is we do have a Patreon website where I think the theory goes along the lines of you patronise us as opposed to us patronising you. But somewhere along the line, somebody's getting patronised. That's all I can work out. But it involves basically, it's another place for you to hang out and kind of be in contact with us. But it also, you know, you have to bung us a few quid every month, basically, which is always very welcome. In return, I will send you a Kerry Dixon banner if you want one. And, of course, you can join in our Discord group, which is, you know, I should do a Venn diagram of Patreon, Discord and Mixlr. And you'll be amazed how many people are all in all three of the same thing. So there you go. The address for that, of course, should you wish to bung us a few quid, is patreon.com/ChelseaFancast. And, of course, there's no pressure. I love you all equally, whether you do or you don't, as long as you listen. That's all I ask. Right, JK, you are going to kick us off with the first email, aren't you?
Matt Scott. It's Matt
Scott. Is it Great Scott, perhaps?
Yes, it's there's nonsense with that name, Matt Scott.
No, lots none of, at all. You know where you are, don't you?
Exactly, lots of Matt Scott. Yeah,
definitely got that ring about it.
Good
it?
Evening, all. Hope everyone had a lovely Christmas. Well, yeah, very nice of you to ask. Thanks very much. Yeah, Happy New Year to you, Matt. Yeah, I simply have to say on the club right now, as everyone on social media platforms seem to be calling for Pochettino's head post Wolves, we were bad against Wolves. Terrible miss from Gillette. Let's get one thing straight. Not even Pep would get a tune out of this lot. It's about fucking time. The owners get put to the sword. what kind of sword would you use?
Literally or metaphorically, man? Yes.
Would it be a saber? Would it be one of those swords? Would it be an axe?
What's a samurai sword called?
A samurai sword.
Is it? They're the sharpest.
Yeah, they're pretty good. No, machete. Yeah, we can't go into this really, can we now? I'm going to say machete, but yeah, that's all a bit. On the block with all of them. The arrogance of these pathetic people running the club is embarrassing. I've said a million times they've come in and ripped the club completely up. So have you, Chid?
I have.
Thinking it would be challenging for titles still. You can't come in, get rid of everything and everyone that's made the football club so successful and expect it to work. Yep. Very well observed. The number of players that's come in over the last 18 months is ridiculous, especially unproven Premier League players. No coach can change that. I'm sorry, but it's blatantly obvious. All this should have been gradually done over a few years. Most people will point out we found a loophole within football fair play. So we'll financial fair play, FFP. So we'll benefit from it later on. If that's the case, then shut the fuck up moaning. Let it take its course. Sacking a manager will achieve absolutely fuck all now. Hey, I'm loving this, Matt.
I've got an interjection to make. Sorry. This is amazing, isn't it? Because I had a bit of a meltdown last night, probably scrumpy induced, where I went off on a bit of a rant. And it's exactly what I said last night, Matt. Maybe I actually wrote this in. Maybe this isn't actually Matt at all.
Or maybe you read this.
No, I didn't. I swear to God, I don't read
beforehand
them.
Beforehand and then just code it early on.
No, you know, like you, on this show,
we don't look at them.
No.
We don't look at them.
It's like
everybody at home, we don't look at them ever. It's always a surprise to us, this.
It's the first time we read them is on the show. Anchorman. You could put anything in there and we'd read it out. So
we'd read it. We would. Yeah.
So fuck you, San Diego.
Yeah, exactly. Very good. The second Anchorman is wonderful as well.
I love them.
Yeah, they're all great. They're brilliant. Anyway, I'm chortling about it, thinking about it. Anyway, he just got to the bit where he said sacking the manager will achieve absolutely.
Fuck all now.
Yeah, exactly. This isn't the Roman era. And however much this new ownership is a shambles so far, we simply don't have a choice. Let's not forget under the old ownership, we had a squad full of stars that would kick into gear once a new manager came in. It's what you said last night. We don't have those players now. That's what you said last night. We have to stick with Poch, and it's going to take at least two more years before we even get close to challenging the top four. I would debate that because I think everybody's a bit much of a muchness in the Premier League. And I think, you know, we might just have a run, but who knows? I mean, you know, God, last week I was suggesting we'd be relegated. So, you know, everyone needs to quit winging. I think it's whinging with an E. Winging.
Isn't it with an H?
An H as well, winging. I like winging. It's just that winging.
There's an H and an E in there somewhere.
Yeah. But anyway, everyone needs to quit whinging and accept where we are. History's history. Where we are now is where we are. End of. But you can't help but yearn for where we were, though, can you, Chidge? There are clubs much better than us who are above us, and rightly so. And now it's in capitals. We are not in the Roman era, you morons. Back to lowercase. So suck it up, ladies. Was that ladles? He's put ladles.
He meant ladies. Well, maybe he didn't mean ladles.
He meant
ladles. Because I think all these denialists are ladling it up, aren't they? Really?
They're ladling it up. Anyway. Anyways, much love. I'm the fucking Chelsea mascot. Matt! Yes, Matt.
Matt, great Scott.
Matt,
I think I love you. That's all I can say on that. I mean, because honestly, I had no idea this was coming. And if you listened to yesterday's show, you'll know this. I ranted and got
about the very same thing.
Exactly those points.
Definitely scrumpy fueled.
It was scrumpy fueled. And
it part, made sense.
Yeah, part irritation. Because this is what I've had to grapple with. I have had to grapple with this as well. Like all of you lot. And the conclusion that I've reached is exactly what Matt's saying. You need to let this shit go. We are not, you cannot go back in time. Roman is gone. That era of the club is over. This is fucking Pol Pot year zero, mate. So you got to fucking accept it and, deal with it. Matt's saying. Matt, you're a ledge, mate. If you ever appear in the Cock Tavern, I will be buying you at least 2 pints of Guinness, whether you like it or not. Yeah. So there you go. It's brilliant. I love that.
What if he doesn't drink Guinness?
Well, I'll buy them for him and then I'll drink them.
Perfect idea. But when you said, I think I love you to him earlier on, were you echoing were you channeling the Partridge Family? David Cassidy.
Talking of Cassidy, he's come back from Leicester, hasn't he?
Has he?
Yeah. Did you not know?
No.
Yeah. He's getting the band back together.
That's really interesting.
No, he is.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, they've called his loan, short, and he's come back.
He's obviously playing rather well for them.
He's a good player.
Better than any of us.
No, he's a good player. So there you go. No, I think that's a great email, Matt. What a brilliant email to kick the show off with. Well done. Right, okay, we got one from James Yu. He says, hello, host extraordinaire.
With an S on it, so it's both of us.
Yeah.
Extraordinaires.
Yeah. I thought that Poch was supposed to be an excellent tactical manager.
Yeah.
I haven't seen much of it yet, except for the second half switching of wingers that one time to produce a wing. Where's the team cohesion or discipline? Multiple yellow cards flying in the air and misplaced passes going to the opponent for their goal-scoring opportunity. It's like there are a bunch of toddlers running around, and on occasion, one or two make clever moves, but that doesn't even always work, i.e. no first touch Jackson. Sidebar, Jackson needs to spend a month in the academy learning the meaning of first touch. I'm pretty sure that I was watching Sarri ball against Newcastle. Constant east-west passing that led to a ball going astray, out of bounce, or a goal-free kick to the Toons goalkeeper. Almost every fixture, defenders are constantly collapsing and out of position, which gets them overrun by the opposing team. It's difficult to have confidence in Pochettino? That's his sister, I suppose, isn't it, Pochettino?
Yes, it would be Pochettino's
sister, yes. It's difficult to have confidence in Pochettino as a long-term manager. It seems like he will end up being a transition manager and be replaced before his contract ends or be fired a year into his contract renewal. But actually, it can't be entirely Poch's fault. Is Win Stanley and Stewart's data analytical approach a failure? Did they not take into account current ability versus potential ability? What is the fix? Suffering for 2 to 5 years when someone comes up with a solution that actually works? I don't want Chelsea to be a Wenger Arsenal. That man must be on the back nine and lost his mind with his stupid suggestions of late. World Cup every 2 years and no concern for player welfare. Selling our best players when they reach a favourable profit price point for the owners. Even the freaking Dodgers sign high-priced established players with financial cookbooking manoeuvres. Help! Gentlemen, I love the show. I hope that everyone had a lovely Christmas or celebrated holiday. Hope that Chelsea gets a result against Palace. We did! And Nkunku survives the fixture. He didn't! Yes. Love, so no, he didn't say love. That was Matt, wasn't it? Thanks, James, London, Ontario. P.S. That's a P.S. Well. It's clear that Pochettino won't be here for the long term. He's been out-coached in a few games since the last email and got out of jail a couple of times for wins. But after today, for fuck's sakes, he is a poor tactician and easily out-coached by Carrick. Chelsea has no Son, Kane or Messi, Mbappe and Neymar to solve a low block for him. He better figure it out or he won't last the season. Angered. Now, I've got a couple of riposts to this. I think actually it's quite a considered email, really, James. But I think this is again really a legacy of what we all experienced in the Roman era. So it's going back to Matt's point again, which is we learnt to put too much faith in managers, you know, because we had great managers like Mourinho who would be whizzing around changing everything, Carlo, whatever. The manager was the most important thing at the club. It was them that won us the trophies. So therefore, we expect managers to be like them. And you know, you go and ask anybody in football and they will tell you it's really the players. I mean, even Pep was saying this the other day when I made this point last week on the show. You know, it's about talent, not tactics up front. You know, you can make all the plans you want as a manager, but, you know, if they need more than one touch, Jackson, then it doesn't fucking matter. You need talent. So, I used to talk to Kerry, and I would always have this argument with Kerry Dixon about systems. He says, oh, shut up with your fucking systems. Systems is bollocks, mate. It's all about the players. And actually, I know Kerry can be a bit curmudgeonly, but he has got a fair point. So, I think the reality is that, you know, managers can do as much as they can before the game kicks off, and then they're in the hands of the players, and the players are like not at it mentally or just not talented enough. There's only so much they can do. So I can understand why we all heap opprobrium on the manager, because that's what we've learned to do, and it works, because when we do that, they get sacked. And that's the other thing, which is a legacy from the Roman era, is that managers got sacked if they even were off it for a second. You know, you couldn't afford to lose more than three or four games as a Chelsea manager, and therefore they would get the tin tack. I know it looks like it's the same in this era, because so far they've got rid of Tuchel, Potter. Let's just say Tuchel and Potter, really, because Frank was a kind of an interim, and so was the other bloke from Brighton. So, but I don't think that's actually true. I don't believe that this lot will go the same way as the Roman era by just sacking, you know, like a bloody, you know, like an emperor in a gladiatorial match or whatever, you know, just like, oh, we'll get rid of him at a whim. Don't think it's going to be like that. But I do understand where this is coming from, and I think it's really what we got used to for 20 years. But I do think we're in a very different world now. There we go. That's my tuppence for what it's worth, JK.
I think managers can destroy teams by not being inspirational enough, not having enough personality, and making decisions that go against what's happening on the pitch. And I know for a fact that I've watched several games this season where a managerial decision, what's his name, the new Wolves manager, made some decisions against Newcastle, and one tactical decision in particular. It's pretty obvious, you could see it, because they were looking rubbish down the right-hand side. So they just played long ball down the right-hand side. Now, the players need to be receptive to that. You get some players who are much more receptive to managerial suggestions than others. And I think that Pep, obviously, yes, gets great players, but then gets them playing in a specific way. It's what the difficulty we've got at the moment is working out whether or not Poch, having pressed enormously with Spurs and used that as one of his main tactics. I mean, obviously he was helped by having Kane and Son playing, who were two great players. And Kane is clearly a great player. And it was an Ali who was really on his game at the time, because he used to play long balls to the left-hand side where Ali would always come in. So they have to be in tune with any tactic that you have, but it's also the in-game management that you rely on the manager for. Yeah. Some of them are much better than others. But I think the problem we've got at the moment with Poch is that we're not seeing any specific game plan or idea. There doesn't appear to be. We're neither defending and getting them on the break, as Borough did, obviously. That's the only way they play. We seem to be half and half. We're not pressing sufficiently. You get Connor pressing madly, belting at the goalkeeper, and the goalkeeper's got only one out, and he plays it, and then whoever is there up with him thinks, oh, I better go and press, and by then it's too late. And you then wonder what isn't happening on the training ground. So I do think that managers can have... It isn't all down to the players. No.
I think that's fair enough. I mean, absolutely. But, you know, how many times have you heard me say on this show, I just really don't think there's much football intelligence in those players.
No, that may be it. It may be the fact that the players aren't intelligent enough to do what he wants.
Yeah.
The same, weirdly enough, that the Wolves guy, Nunes, has come, and I remember his name, and they seem to be very on the ball, as it were, to what he's after. Mm. In the same way, the Bournemouth team practice this getting the ball out very quickly from defence in a way that we seem to be not terribly good at. And yet this business of allowing players on and creating space in the midfield, which you do from holding onto the ball with the goalkeeper, that's why they do it, seems to be applied better by certain teams. And I think it's down to the practice. What this, who was it was chatting? It wasn't Billing. It was one of the Bournemouth players the other day I was reading about. He just said they practiced and practiced and practiced. And the danger was when they did it at the very beginning, they were being found out and caught in possession and goals scored against them that looked really inept. However, they practiced it so much and they've now gone on this run of how many games it is, six games without defeat, I think. And what has happened, of course, is the confidence has surged through the team. And what we're not seeing with Chelsea is any confidence surging through the side at all. With we get moments of confidence or moments. I think the second half against Preston, we scored, Breuer scored, suddenly a different player for a brief period, has another header, hits the bar. We then score four goals because we're all over them and their heads have gone down. It's that role that you need to get on, which we really haven't got on, other than we've beaten a few teams in the last month. Weirdly, the last month a bit, other than, of course, Borough, which then sank it down to a strange level, despite us having played so well. So is it something to do with the training? Is it, what is it that's going on with the team? Is it, as has been said, they're all a bit too young, and it's the incompetence in the previous letter, the incompetence of the gurus, Wyn Stanley and what's his
well,
face?
Well, I tell you what, on that point, the other thing I wonder is that, you know, I mean, look, when you get a manager coming in, you kind of expect them to play a certain way. It's kind of their thing, although maybe you shouldn't. I mean, some of them are more kind of...
receptive to what the team can provide.
Well, I mean, you know, people like Pep, he plays one way. He's only ever going to play one way.
Yeah.
I mean, for my, you know, I'm not hugely a fan of that because I think you can also get sarry if you're not careful. But, you know, I want a man. I mean, you know, one of my favorite managers of all time is Terry Venables, because Terry Venables was just such a shrewd tactician, and he would obviously do what a lot of managers do. He would set the team up to, you know, to play against whoever they were playing. But, you know, he could be flexible. He could do many systems, and he would coach his players to be able to do that. And I like a manager like that. I wonder what the problem we've got here is, that we've been buying players who either don't fit into any sort of system or certainly don't fit into how Poch wants to play, which is kind of going to make it difficult for him, isn't it? And
so
then
words,
you've got all the injuries, and he's hardly ever been able to pick the same team.
Yeah. Particularly the Nkunku injury, which I think has completely shafted him.
Yeah,
to be
totally. Yeah.
He was supposed to be a kind of marquee signing of the goal scorer in the best goal scorer in the...
Bundesliga.
Yeah. But interestingly, to just defend Wyn Stanley and what's the other guy's name?
Stewart,
yeah. To defend them, the two players they attempted to buy, Gordon and the Man United winger, what's his name, the young boy, they put decision.
Garnacho.
Have both played out of their skin this season.
Yeah, they have.
But you think, well, actually, they got that right. They just couldn't buy them.
Yeah.
You know? Gordon... He was dissuaded, wasn't he, to join Chelsea by somebody. Somebody said, "Don't join them. It's a farce going on at the moment at the club."
Yeah. Well,
so he went to Newcastle, and yet they're not having, because they're having the same problem we've got. They've got even worse injuries than us.
Yeah. I mean, look, don't get me wrong here, mate. You know, I don't think Poch is blameless at all. I mean, you know, how many times a week do you hear me moan about Cole playing left back? He makes some odd decisions, in my
what
view.
What happened to Mattson? Why did Mattson never?
Yeah, not
left?
Picking Mattson. Well, I mean, here's the rub, mate. He's on the training ground every day. We're not. Maybe he didn't rate him. You know, he's allowed to. That's what managers get paid for. But from our point of view, from where we all sit, we think it's a bit strange. But maybe he knew something we didn't. You know, we have to allow him that.
But it was the constant selection of Colwell has been bewildering, hasn't it? Really.
But there have been other selections too. I mean, you know, he's managing like a manager who's kind of, frankly, doesn't really you know what to do at the moment, you know. And as I said, I wonder if it's a function of a lot of the other things that have gone on, a lot of the other disruption, injuries, and so on and so forth. But, you know, yeah, he's not blameless. He's made some ricks. There's no doubt about that. Let's see, you know. I mean, you know, it's got to settle down sooner or later. But this is kind of what we've been saying all the time. There's so many things going on that makes it rather difficult. But I feel your pain, people. I really do. Mr. Kid, we have an email from Gabriel Ewan, our mate Gabriel.
Good old Gabriel.
It's a song too. How appropriate that it's come to you.
It's the roll of the dice has allowed this to be mine, Chidge, says he, slightly suspecting that Chidge set it up knowing that I would sing it.
No, it's all chronological order, mate. It's just the luck of the draw.
Is it really? Luck of the draw. So you'd have had to sing it.
I could have done if it had come in a week later, yeah.
Well, how interesting. Dear Chidge and JK, I feel like we need a song for Jackson every time he stayed onside when receiving a ball. So here I go, to the tune of Yellow Submarine. Johnny Jackson, he's fucking stayed onside. He's finally onside.
No, I think he's got the chorus there.
He's actually onside.
No, he's got the chorus. But
Janet
Jackson, he's fucking stayed onside. He's finally stayed onside. He's actually onside. There you go.
Thank you. You were doing it at the same time as me, so it probably sounded completely shit. I'll start again. You should be more... like that. Janet Jackson, who's fucking stayed onside. He's finally onside. He's actually onside. And then repeat. I wanted more, Gabriel. I wanted a verse. I wanted a verse and a chorus. As I wanted Janet Jackson, he's fucking stayed onside. He's finally onside. I'd have liked that. I'd have liked that. But there isn't. That's all it is. But thank you. Cheers.
But it's got to start with in the land where he was born.
In the land where he was born. He was born offside.
Do you know what? That reminds me of one of my all-time favourite songs because it really just took off in that absolutely legendary match against Brentford in the FA Cup where we were all standing in their terrace, when Rafa got absolutely just eviscerated by everybody, which will be a memory. But the day that I die, that will be a positive memory that flashes through my brain. But we're all singing the Denver Bar song, which Walter, I think, you know, came up with. You know, which I can't remember. I'd remember it's something like, you know, he comes from Africa. What does he play? He plays football. You know, Denver, Denver, Denver Bar, Denver Bar, Denver Bar. It's just, we just sang that the whole fucking match. It's just absolutely brilliant. But there you go. Oh, memories, memories. So we've got left.
Memories.
I know. So we've got left, really, isn't it? You know, anyway, whatever. Okay, this is from Stephen Menery. Oh, it's another Jackson email. And it's kind of a song as well. Sorry, Miss Jackson, but are you for real? We don't want to have to call you shite, so hurry up and get it fucking right. It's not bad. It's not bad.
With the odd fan in the background chiming in with,
let's have it right. Here and there. I like it. I like it. Yeah. Yeah. Good one, Stephen. That's encouraging. Better than we could do. It's our old mate, Mr. Spencer, for you, JK.
The ubiquitous George Spencer. Oh,
John, I live and breathe.
We love your regularity. I'm not talking about your bowels. I'm talking about your sending emails in. Great. Dear Chidgey. You're Chidgey.
I am.
Dear Chidgey and JK. Now the Christmas has been and gone. And in the grand scheme of things, let's get the Wolves game out of the way first. All I'm going to say about it is that Christmas Eve football can be like the Christmas turkey or goose, if you prefer, and get stuffed. Onwards to Palace. And with them having had 3 extra days to recover, the stars were aligned for another embarrassing defeat. But we hadn't read the script. And after it looked like Olise, how does he pronounce his name?
Olise
had undone the good work. Madueke stepped up to net us the 3 points. And as such, it was no surprise he retained his spot away to Luton. But it's because he went up to Potch and Potch slapped him on the face and laughed at him after the game. Retained his spot away to Luton and should retain it against Preston. Did he retain it against Preston? He scored because he then mucked about with it. But it was ice cold Palmer who stole the plaudits, especially with his touch for the third goal. Even if we then nearly contrived to throw it away. We really need more practice in closing games out. As for the news linking Connor to Spuds, to, and she's put
with an asterisk.
No, that comes from CFC UK, where if you ever spell Spurs or Tottenham or anybody associated with them, you have to asterisk the vowels out, because it's like swearing.
Absolutely agree, yeah. We should quote that famous slogan from the East Anglian Tourist Board, Norfolk in chance. And if the Yanks seriously entertain it, they should be forced to sell the club to the Irishman, Ronan Obramovich. Clever. Meanwhile, down the M3, we're back to Winchester, Chidge. It was great to meet Chidgey. It makes you sound the little diminutive Chidgey, even though it's your surname, the little Chidge.
Yeah, but Chidge is the diminutive of Chidgey.
Yeah, but somehow this sounds ridiculously the diminutive, where in actual fact it isn't. It's the longer version.
Taking a piss out of my name, son.
Yeah, what you can do about it? Because I'm happy to be Kiddy.
Brilliant.
Meanwhile, down the M3, it was great to meet Chidgey at Winchester City versus Hayes and Yedding, in which a late equaliser from Simba Miambo, says Milambo. Is Milambo. He Simba
Milambo?
Milambo salvaged a point in a 1-1 draw.
Great goal.
Was it a great goal?
Better than any of our lot of fucking scored this year.
Yeah, makes sense. Then a Boxing Day trip to Salisbury followed, with Winchester, despite having their keeper sent off, being minutes away from a massive win away to the high-flying Whites, only to concede a stoppage-time equaliser. And now we have been unlucky not to beat third-placed Gosport Borough, with our substitute Devon Arnold's 72nd-minute goal being cancelled out by an 85th-minute equaliser. We're definitely improving. Lots of 1-1 draws, it seems to me. Maybe we will win away to Plymouth Park.
That's the name. Win away to penalty to Plymouth Parkway, because they always get penalties.
Is that what they're called? I got it. Yeah. We'll win away to penalty to Plymouth Parkway on Saturday. I'm sorry, I presume there was a spelling mistake, because I'm not up with these lower divisions. I do apologise. Until next time, up to Chilts, George Spetzer. Good old George.
There we go.
Rattle, George.
I tell you, I really enjoyed it. I mean, I was late because I'd had to spend a long time in the allotment doing stuff, but I kind of got there for the second half and then spent about, I mean, this is ridiculous. I must have spent 15 minutes trying to find George, who, of course, I'd never met, in a ground where there can't have been more than 1,000 people. You wouldn't have thought it'd been hard, would you? But it took me about 20 minutes.
Yeah, it can be hard to do that.
And I really enjoyed it, actually. It was just nice to be able to walk from my home. That reminded me of lots of road days. I could walk from my home to the ground and walk back afterwards. And, it was quite entertaining, actually. You know, I really enjoyed it. It's good to meet George, obviously. But there you go. We have some parish notices because we are kind of approaching the end of part one. Of course, our usual shout-out for CFC UK. Judging from the WhatsApp messages this afternoon, I need to do another article before the end of next week, so there's a new one imminent. If you want a copy of this legendary fanzine, then you need to go and get it from the stall opposite Fulham Broadway on a match day. So they'll be for sale on Tuesday when we play Middlesbrough, for example. Or, of course, you could get them from any of the sellers who proliferate around the ground, and you can identify them because they will be saying, "Hurry up, it's only a pound." Now, if you can't get it at a match, do not worry. You can actually get a hard copy by subscribing to CFC UK by emailing fanzine@cfcuk.net. And if you want to pay for a year's subscription, it's £20 in the UK, £45 in Europe, £60 in the rest of the world. And you can also get it digitally, so they will email you a PDF of each issue. For a year's subscription, that's £6, or just for one, it's a pound, of course. And you can pay via PayPal. It's also timely to remind everybody to go and buy a CPO, Chelsea Pitch Owners Share. They had their AGM on Friday. I haven't heard much news about it, so nothing controversial happened, I would suspect. But well worth investing in one. Obviously, it means that you, like all the other shareholders, own the freehold of the stadium and, of course, the name Chelsea FC. And it's a rather unique kind of protection mechanism, so that nothing dark and dastardly can happen to the stadium without the CPO agreeing. And of course, as we're about to redevelop the stadium or whatever, this is probably rather useful. And of course, you know, most of the people who own the shares are die-hard Chelsea supporters. About £110 for an electronic share, £175 for a frame share signed by a Chelsea player. Just go to chelseafc.com and search for Chelsea Pitch Owners. Now, last but by no means least, we have another Chelsea Fancast presents live at the Troubadour coming up. Yes, live indeed. These are so much fun. I mean, we have so much fun doing them. The Troubadour is a brilliant little venue. It's on Old Brompton Road. It's an iconic, very old London music venue. And we have the whole of the downstairs where there's a bar. And it's quite small, but it's a lovely room. We can only fit about 50-odd people in there. So it's, you know, it's by definition intimate and quite limited. You know, we can't get hundreds of people there, which is not really why we do it. We do it because we want it like that. And it works very, very well. And on Sunday, the 4th of February, after the Chelsea Wolves match, which kicks off at 2, from 4 p.m, the doors at the Troubadour will open. And I think about somewhere between 4:30 and 5, we'll get going. Me, JK, and Kenny Swain, and Jock Finiston, Super Jock Finiston, who was a great striker for us in the late 70s. Kenny was a very stylish midfielder. Of course, he got sold to Aston Villa, who then went and won the European Cup. So he was a pretty good player. But we were broke and rubbish, so we kind of had to sell our players in those days. You're about to pipe in?
I was going to say, we're no longer broke, but we're rubbish.
Yes, and we're still selling players. Sometimes things never change. Basically, they're really good guys. Their experiences in the 70s will be very interesting for those who were not there to hear, and will be mystifyingly nostalgic for those who were there. If you think about it, we did a great gig a few years ago, not us, but the boys who do all the writing, the Eddie Mac book launch. They had a lot of these guys there, and it was a fantastic night out. So it'll be like a small sample of that. But Jock's very entertaining. Kenny's a very cerebral, thoughtful man. I think he was coaching with the England under-21s or under-18s or something not that long ago, so he's got other things to say as well. But, a little bit of Chelsea in the 70s and, you know, literally the days of where were you when we were shit. So do come along to that. Sunday, February the 4th, doors open at 4. We'll go until about 6:30. So you can kind of come after the game, listen to these two, Kenny Swain and Jock Finiston, me and JK talking to them. Doing a live Q&A, have a few beers, lovely bar, lovely beer there. And there you go. Tickets are £20 plus the booking fee, and you can get them from ticketweb.uk. And award of warning. But what? You're looking at me like I've gone mad. I have actually gone mad. No,
I like that. But
yeah, okay.
You subconsciously were thinking of Timo Werner.
I was. He's always in my thoughts. You know, yeah. Somewhere in my head, there's Timo Werner, looking like a terrier chasing a balloon.
And driving the ball beautifully past the post when it was easier to score.
Exactly. And being offside, of course.
Of course.
Yeah. So, yeah, tickets £20 plus booking fee. Ticketweb.uk. They're on sale now. We've already sold quite a lot in the first day. So don't hang about, because it will sell out. When we do these on a match day, which is kind of the reason why we do them on a match day now, there's a lot of people coming to the game who have the opportunity to come along. Whereas when we used to do them on a Sunday with no football, it was a real effort to come into London for that, for a lot of people, me included. So don't hang around, because they will sell out. I don't want any emails for the week to go saying, oh, chidge, I couldn't get a ticket. What am I going to do? Buy it now. That's the answer, guys. And we'll see you all there. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be a cracker. Right. We will be back after this short break for part two. When you follow a big team like Chelsea, one of the most frustrating things is not being able to get a ticket for the match, especially when it's away and not live on TV in the UK. What can you do? Get updates from your mates? Follow online commentary? Listen to the radio? Let's face it, it's not the same as actually watching the match live, is it? NordVPN have the solution to every football supporter's match day problems when they can't watch the match live. NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords. It's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain. To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Real fans, real opinions.
I'm Jason Cundy, and you're listening to the Chelsea Football Fancast. Proper Chelsea.
Footballfancast.com.
Welcome back to the Chelsea Fancast, the in-off-the-post show, where we basically read out all the fantastic emails and correspondence we get to the show from our fantastic listeners. I am, of course, Dan Fitchidge, and I'm joined, as ever, by the effusive Jonathan Kidd.
He couldn't come this second half, so I'm coming in instead.
Yes.
I'm Ron.
Okay. He's not doing well with his cough, is he? Is that why?
Coughing a lot. No, I am as well.
Oh, are you?
I've caught it from him.
Have you?
It's that mackerel I had at half time.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Not they didn't give you swan this time then?
No. We had boar the other day. Boar was off.
Was it bored off?
Yeah, bored off. That would be bald off. But like bulldog, but different. I'll just put myself on mute while I cough my
guts
out.
You do that, my love. I've got an email to read out, so I'll get on with that. You get on with your coughing with the mute button turned on, which you thankfully have. Right. Amazingly enough, having heard from George Spencer just before the break, where he says, until next time is now, because the next email is, in fact, from George Spencer. So there you go. Dear Chidgey and JK, it's difficult to decide what to make of Chelsea at the moment. We start with the FA Cup game against Preston, where after 45 insipid minutes, we turned on the style and ran out 4-0 winners. Then came the game against the Smoggies, where after 90 insipid minutes and a slew of missed chances, we came away with a 1-0 defeat. After that, we welcomed Fulham to the Bridge, where ice-cold Palmer slotted home a penalty to prove the difference, and Petrovic ensured that normal service would resume and there would still be Prosecco in West London come 5 o'clock. Unfortunately for Winchester City, things have not been as rosy, so much for the improvement, eh, George? Having got through December unbeaten, our momentum was checked last Saturday when I thought it was penalty to Plymouth Parkway, not Plymouth Parkway. Anyway, Plymouth Parkway, having said that the match would go ahead if it didn't rain overnight, went back on their word and called it off at 7 a.m. in the morning, costing the club £1,200 and denying us a coach to Tiverton. That's actually awful. They've done this a lot, haven't they, George? Called games off at the last minute. Anyway, then this Saturday we went down 5-1 to Scholing. From Scholing with trips to Poole, Walton and Basingstoke on the horizon. I saw that result. That's shocking, mate. I don't know what happened. I think we lost to Walton and Hersham today, I think, didn't we? I have a horrible feeling. We were 3-0 or 3-1 down the last time I looked with about 5 minutes to go. So, or less than 5 minutes to go. So not good. Until the next time, up the Chelsea. George Spencer. Good to hear from you, George. Hope you're well, mate. And
I'm worried about you calling them we.
Why?
Well, because surely Chelsea should be we, not Worcester City.
It's not Worcester.
Winchester City.
Get it right. If you're going to insult me, get it right.
Take two, Chidge. I'm worried about you calling them we.
Well, I have a little soft spot for Winchester City. I'm allowed. They're a non-league team. Yeah,
but we, surely is the team that you love and adore.
Yeah.
Not Winchester City. Come on.
Point taken.
Them.
Point
good.
Cheltel actually would be doing his nut if he was listening to this show, because you know he was used to there's no such thing as a second team. My second team is Chelsea reserves.
Third team is the team. Where do Chelsea women come in this?
Well, I don't know, they're in there somewhere, aren't they?
But
great. Oh yeah, Cheltel, bless your heart, mate. I haven't heard from you for a while, hope you're well. Next email, JK.
From Neil Spencer, good old Neil. Dear Chidge and the esteemed Duke of Kidd.
Duke of Kidd.
I wrote to you a few weeks back requesting your guidance on obtaining tickets for the Palace match. Having arrived from New York on the 26th, we immediately went to my hometown of Torquay to see us lose 0-1 to Truro. Great start. Thereafter, me and my three sons headed back to London on the 27th. One would make the query of oh, he went to his hometown of Torquay. That's why he went to watch them. I get it. Yeah, yeah. The traffic was biblically bad. Does that mean that it was as bad as the Red Sea coming back?
After no, raining, the, deluge, oh, mate.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to think of the particular image. Would it be locusts?
That comes next, I think.
Okay. The back traffic was the weather, and in all, it took us 8 hours to get to our central London hotel. Alas, we had no luck on the ticket exchange. Oh, my goodness. So took a considerably deep breath, bought 4 tickets and the Matthew Harding lower from what we hope was from a reputable website. Oh, my God, no. Given that we just had the journey from hell, we arrived at Fulham Broadway about 10 minutes after kickoff. Oh, goodness. So sadly, all thoughts of beers in the cock were swept away. When one comes from across the pond, first time in 9 years to see Chelsea, the stress of getting to the game is gargantuan. Not only were we late, but we heard that they closed the gate 50 minutes after kickoff. So we took off down the Fulham Road with great haste, at least as much haste as my 55-year-old legs would allow for. Then there's the dreaded barcode check. Had I dropped vast quantities of cash only to be denied at the door? Dear God, let's hope not. But no! Hey! Apparently the tickets were legit, and in we all went, though not before we'd heard the roar of celebration for Mudrick's opener. To be honest, I was almost beyond caring as me and my boys were in the bridge, and we took our seats, or rather we stood in the corner next to the West Lower. Whilst we all had different seats, we were largely in the same area. I find myself among people very much like myself, middle-aged, lifelong Chelsea fans, spending most of their time bemoaning the sideways passing and woeful finishing from Jackson. I have to say, there's a trend here, Chidge. Jackson is getting it in the neck. And my giving Jackson in the neck was that I had an agenda, so I'm intrigued.
How anyway. Pleasing for you.
Very pleasing. I feel rewarded by these emails.
You're so validated, aren't you?
I'm so validated. I, funnily enough, I haven't mentioned it.
No, no. You're so humble.
I'm now beginning to mention it. I'm now beginning to say... I'm intrigued that other people appear to be criticising him, and yet I was the one given a time. Anyway, I have to say, though, having been a Fancast devotee for some years, this is exactly what I expected to find. Yes. You regularly note the ageing season ticket holder population. You couldn't be more right. Oh, I thought you were talking about Jackson. And at least from my vantage point. Also, and this sounds somewhat hypocritical, I was delighted there weren't too many tourists in there either. While that's exactly what we were, we watch every game religiously, we're there to sing, I don't do that though, and fully embrace the experience along with all the other true Chelsea fans. Given that it was such a rare and somewhat expensive experience, we were delighted with the win, of course, didn't really care that it was exceptionally tight. We had a brilliant time, including pints and pies at half-time. Blimey, was the beer any good? And stayed long after the final whistle till the stewards kicked us out. Good for you. My enduring thought thereafter was, wouldn't it be fantastic to be a season ticket holder and do this every other week? And thus my jealousy of you all is somewhat significant. Regardless of the last couple of years of abysmal football, it's everything around it that is so magical, a fact underscored as we had a couple of post-match pints after the game. You are, of course, right, absolutely correct. It's the managing to maintain the ritual every other week, or even when there are cup games intertwined with that, or even Europe when we were in it. It's addictive. It's so...
It's a privilege, mate.
It is. It can be so fantastic. Excuse me. Our cultural tour of football and pubs continued that week with a Friday night trip down to the Den to see Millwall. In brackets, Millwall, fucking yes. Yes, I'm querying that, actually. Yes, I'm...
Well, the Millwall fucking yes is from Billy Bright in the Football Factory when they get the draw that Chelsea are going to play Millwall in the Cup, and they go, Millwall! Millwall! Fucking yes! Millwall! Yes,
because they can then have a bundle. Yes, you are right. I didn't see that film, I'm afraid, so I should see it.
Is that because they turned you down for the lead role?
Funnily enough, I was asked to be, yeah. I was turned down for it. Yeah. I'm so transparent. If anything is on that I've been associated with, I will not go anywhere near it. There are lots of things on at the moment that I've been up for that I won't...
Had you done the fan cast before you did? In fact, had we even been doing it before they made the Football Factory? I mean, there's a lot of ifs, whats and maybes here. Because I got to know John King after the Football Factory had been made.
Yes.
But had it been before then, and I got to know him because of this, then maybe we'd have got you a part in there, mate. Maybe
yes.
I'd have been in there too.
And you'd have been in there too, yeah.
Loads of people we know were in it. DJ's in it, Martin Knight, load of people like that, all scrapping away. They've got some great stories about it. It all got a bit naughty as well.
Of course
well.
It did. Yeah. Of course it did.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, where were we? Yeah. He got with a Friday night trip down the Den to see Millwall. Millwall, fucking yes. But also I was thinking in terms of, why Millwall? But yeah, beat Norwich, beat Norwich. No, we didn't cheer or indeed reveal our Chelsea loyalties. I think that would have been a bit weird. Though I have to say their pies and sausage rolls are very good indeed. They are known for good sausage rolls at what used to be at the New Den. The next day we watched the Luton game with lunch in the Butcher's Hook, as I couldn't quite stretch to the grand being demanded for a ticket. A grand? Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Overall, it was a fantastic few days of football, boozers, pie and mash. Seriously, good bonding time. You gentlemen always fill the podcast with the colour of the games and the supplemental glory of the socialisation that takes place around it. Very well expressed. Very well, Neil. We were lucky enough to enjoy a small slice of that during our few days in London. Thanks for everything, boys. I'll try and get it more right next time and actually see you all at the stall, or better yet, in the pub. Up to Chelsea! Yeah! Connecticut, Neil. Fab mail. Terrific.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a shame we didn't see you, Neil, but when we get an email like that saying what a great time you had and exactly, you know, what it's all about, really, it warms the cockles of your heart. So
it does.
Yeah.
It
so
does.
Next time, next time we'll try and sort that out. Right. It's, hang on, sneeze. Bless me. Goodness me, that was a big one. Anyway, right, next email, Stephen Osborne. This is quite funny because Stephen emailed me last night and I haven't actually had time to reply to him today because I was basically focusing on doing nothing. But Stephen said, did my email miss the cut? Because he didn't know we were splitting it into two shows, you see, because we didn't at the time when I was talking about it. So, Stephen, this is your email now. Dear Chidge and the obstreperous JK.
Stroppy kid.
Whoa, stroppy kid, I like it. Happy New Year, if we can still say that on January the 15th, or indeed the 20th, or even the 19th, or even the 20th. And thank you, as well as all of the rest of the Fancast squad, for the entertaining shows you have continued to bang out week after week. I really appreciate your work, even though I'm sure it's also great fun to do most of the time, and you make it sound a complete breeze. Oh, hang on. Swallowed a nut the wrong way. Not helpful. Well, we recently got back from a quick winter recharge on the island of Grenada. Bloody hell, Stephen. That's one of my favourite places in the world. The Spice Island. It smells of nutmeg. And they have the best rum in the world. My God, good God. I love that place. Anyway, living in New Hampshire, it's a blessed relief to escape the 0 degree temperatures. That's 0 Fahrenheit, not Celsius. And the lack of colour. We landed on the morning of December the 27th, soon before the game against Palace was about to kick off. Wanting to get to our destination, we decided not to find a beach bar with a TV. And instead, we nipped into the capital, St George's, for a snack so we could get on with our 90-minute drive to where we were staying so we could watch the game on demand once we had arrived. We solemnly committed to a vow of family radio silence, no peeking at the scores until after we've all watched the game. Picture the scene. Straight off the plane, we are all six of us piled into a six-seater Toyota Noah rental car with bags squeezed into the boot and between the seats. We hit standstill traffic. It's market day in St George's and the streets are definitely more suited to pedestrians than tourists lost in their car. Stuck in the congestion, out of the blue, a local lady steps in front of the car and crosses the road. She's wearing a Chelsea shirt. The current version, infinite athlete and all. Look, proper Chels. She goes past us and continues up the road. Mudrick, what are the odds? Yeah, she has Billy the Wiz and number 10 on her back. Nailed on, this is a sign. Pretty much at that moment, Mudrick was stabbing home to put us 1-0 up. We never saw another Chelsea shirt for all the 10 days we were there, although things did get more bizarre later when one of my sons won a goat, the bingo. This is for real, yep. Despite sharing holiday anecdotes, he could have made a goat roti, couldn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, baby. Despite sharing holiday anecdotes, I also wanted to give some further thoughts based on Monday's Fulham match review show. That, and it was a good excuse to use the adjective obstreperous, which I looked up this morning, having read it in a newspaper article. That's the spirit, Stephen. Monday was a great show with some really good discussion about the current state of the union, what is now effectively a mid-season mini break for us. I've got three quick topics: how well we might be able to do in the league, what's happened to our pressing game, and what we are seeing with our new goalie. Someone mentioned fifth place in the show. Probably me, actually, Stephen. Not a chance. If we make that, we have done... Actually, I think I've said sixth, to be fair. I said we would be behind the teams that are actually quite good, which is which is Man City, Arsenal, Villa, Liverpool. Who else?
Tottenham?
Yeah. Well, that's why I said fifth then, because we'd have to finish above Tottenham, wouldn't we?
It's a necessity.
Yeah. Anyway, so where were we? Not a chance. If we make that, we have done incredibly well from how things stand this far into the season and given our current position. If we make fifth, one of the current top five has imploded. On average, fifth typically requires between 65 and 70 points. I see, this is what's going to happen. You see, Steve is going to completely screw me, having done statistical analysis of it, which will, of course, knob me completely. Anyway, although it's been done with 60, my guess is that this year it will be a relatively high points tally to make fifth. Spurs have 40 from 21. Arsenal have 40 from 20. They're both motoring along at about 2 points per game in fourth and fifth places. Villa in third don't look likely to crash and burn, but of course it's possible. So I'm assuming Spurs are the ones to catch to make fifth. If Spurs finish with less than 68 points at the end of the season, I'd be surprised. They only need 28 points from 17 games, not at all beyond them. Excuse me. I hate to say, but to put that in context, after the first 17 games of the season, 28 points would have got you seventh. That would be Man U. And Man U are, as we know, not exactly good. For us to reach Spurs' hypothetically bad tally of 68, we need 37 points from 17 games. I'd say that's well beyond us, even with a vast improvement. So sixth is most likely the best we can hope for. Six would be a good finish, reflecting significant progress during the season after some poor results in the first few months. Pressing. Oh, fucking hell. It's catching, JK.
Yeah, I've given it to you.
No, I stupidly had a handful of these. Should I do a bit of advertising here? Yes, Grey's sea salt and pepper protein nut crunch. And it's stuck in my fucking throat. Anyway, yeah. Pressing. The last couple of weeks, you've noted that the press is either non-existent or is half-baked. Yet in pre-season, it was aggressive. Yep. I agree. But I wonder if the reason for it being weaker is the fitness toll that a pressing style puts on the players.
Does indeed put huge pressure on the players. Yep.
Exactly. With Poch managing minutes for players, fewer options from the bench and many coming back to play games carrying injuries or not match fit, playing a high-energy press might not be overall the best plan. That's not a bad thought, actually, Stephen. Even though it might be Poch's longer-term system. So, I think it's a deliberate ploy, not a failure to play. So that takes the heat off Poch a bit from what we were saying earlier, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It looks like he's asking the players to adopt a flexible sixth system, a mix of counter-attack, possession-based and pressing, depending on the situation.
I just nip in a second.
Yes.
It's interesting watching some of the other teams who still press, but they press less aggressively. So the press is on the halfway line. It's almost a question of they allow the team to come on more, but so they have a shorter area to press. So they're not running as much, but they're pressing. And you wonder whether that is a compromise by some coaches to allow them not to be so completely knackered. The trouble is, you look at the successful sides, Liverpool press unbelievably high up the pitch, and that's why they're so successful at the moment, because they get the ball back in the final third consistently, whereas we don't do that, and other teams are just happy to get the ball back. It's mostly those who are inclined to defend more will do the press, just by the forwards will start pressing the defence that come further forward. So they do get the ball, then they've got further to go, but then they rely on booting the ball down the pitch and the speedy winger runs after it. So that's the compromise that seems to take place. But at the moment, we're not really doing one or the other. It's
possibly why it looks so confused.
Right, because as I said earlier, you get one player runs at the centre half with the ball massively, and for somebody else, when he realises only one ball out to give it to the defender, because the other one is it's on his side where he is, and he can't turn around and give it back to the keeper or give it to the right winger. So he plays it to the left, and the guy is obviously the guy going to receive the ball, and we're slow to go on to the guy receiving the ball. Is that because Poch has said, no, I don't want you to be pressing? However, it then makes a horlicks of the whole process of the bloke who is doing the pressing. Why is he doing the pressing? Then nobody's backing him up.
Well, it doesn't work if they're not all doing it together.
It absolutely doesn't work. Absolutely right.
You've got to hunt in packs. I mean, you know, this was the one of the tenets of Pep Guardiola's success at Barcelona. You know, everybody talks about them being, oh, they're just tiki-taka, mate, passing side to side, just keeping the ball, blah, 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 blah. No, the foundation of their success was their ability to win the ball back immediately. And they would focus their entire game on doing that. And they used to do it. They used to have two people on the person who had got the ball, and they would win it back, and then they would keep the ball and pass you to death. So it was actually all about the pressing. And I think City do similar, obviously, because that's the way that, Pep plays. But
Tuchel did that with us in the season we won the Champions League.
He did, indeed.
The constant pressing of people. I think I've said this before, Real Madrid were pressed out of existence when we beat them.
It was just all over them, you know, like a swarm of hornets.
And Mason Mount was one of the main pressers.
He led the press.
Really fit. He led the press. Really, really fit. Non-stop aspect to Mason. So.
Until he got injured and hasn't really been seen of since.
Since, absolutely.
So this is possibly the dilemma, isn't it? Is that, you know, they have to be super, super, super fit. And maybe it's just not possible unless you're superhuman. So what we need now, we've got all this money, they need to go and find some extraterrestrial superhuman players to buy.
Maybe
robots would be a good thing.
You think they're developing one at the moment?
I think they might be.
Yes. In a vat somewhere.
Team full of cyborgs.
Yeah.
There we go. Right. Where did I get to? With Poch managing minutes for players, fewer options on the bench, and many coming back to play games carrying injuries or not match fit, playing a high-energy press might not be overall the best plan, even though it might be Poch's longer-term system. So, I think it's a deliberate ploy, not a failure to play. It looks like he's asking the players to adopt a flexible system, a mix of counter-attack, possession-based, and pressing, depending on the situation. We definitely aren't tiki-taka, route one, or focused on vertical passing that TT was often great at implementing. A flexible system is difficult to achieve, especially with an inexperienced team. It can easily turn into something that looks like everyone is playing individually and not as a team, which we've been accused of. But overall, it's probably about right, given the quality and quantity of the tools available. I mean, that's a fantastic point, actually. I'd not considered that at all. But that, you know, that could explain why we think we're seeing what we're seeing, when in fact we're not, if you see what I mean.
Yes.
I like that.
I won't add anything to that.
No, I've confused everybody enough, I think, with that statement.
Yeah, I laughed, not really knowing what I was laughing at.
You laughed nervously. Oh God, he's gone again.
It wasn't a nervous laugh. It was a, you know, it was a fake laugh.
Oh right, okay. Fair. Thank you. Fuck you very much.
No. In a nice way. Because I thought you were losing your mind.
Keep digging. So keep digging.
I didn't want to be horrid. No, I'm not actually fine enough. I'm standing tall with the whole, you know, very shallow.
You're lovely. Don't let me worry you. Petrovic, 100% agree with your takes. He exudes calm. He has a Czech-like calm. Personally, I'd rate him above Sanchez in every aspect of goalkeeping, except for experience, of course, and there's only one way to address that. We do only have a limited sample size of games and situations, but so far, even if he has a ricket or two in the next few games, I'd back him long-term over Sanchez. He looks a great buy, the next up there after Palmer. Overall, I know you're going to come in with it, but I'm just, let me get through this and then you can have your say.
Get through it.
Overall, it's a long way off from being good enough. There are more positive signs than not, and hopefully the missing ingredient is time and chemistry. Let's hope the owners don't make some brain fart decisions in the rest of this window. I continue to expect Connor will be sold this window, which would be a big error, but probably not a complete disaster long term. Cheers and up the Chelsea! Stephen, a.k.a. Tate's dad.
He's written Chelsea. What I wanted to say was what has been revealed, it was in The Athletic, there was an article, is that, I'm explaining this the other day, but I'll repeat it, is that Sanchez takes more risks in playing the ball out from the back. Thus, Poch's enthusiasm for the fact that he's back running and is, you know, whether he would come back into the team. I think it's going to be an interesting selection dilemma for them, because I think he rates the fact that he believes he's a little bit more perceptive in how to get the ball out from the back. I think he's not been helped by having Desazi next to him, who seems to be lumbering when it comes to dealing with those short passes. But Sanchez apparently doesn't take risks.
No, he does take risks.
Petrovic doesn't take risks. Sanchez does take risks.
Yeah, well, this is why Petrovic doesn't make at least one or two fucking ricks a game that cost us a goal.
Exactly. He doesn't, because he kicks long more than...
Which sets us up for a counter-attack.
Yeah, yeah.
It's another option, isn't it?
But I fear that the long-term, Poch wants somebody who plays the ball out more from defence. With the enthusiasm was worrying on the press conference.
Yeah, but he's been enthusiastic about Jackson as well.
Yeah, I suppose he has. Not quite in the same way, not with the same grin.
We will see.
We will see.
I mean, I've got to be honest. I know that Petrovic is very young and inexperienced, which is in itself a gamble, but I don't dislike Sanchez, but I just, you know, he's got a fucking rick in him every game, and we cannot afford to be, you know, conceding a goal every game because we can't fucking score. So if he does that, we end up losing, you know?
We can't be
having that. I mean, I'm sure he's a lovely bloke, but he was Brighton's fucking third choice goalkeeper, for fuck's sake.
For that very reason.
Yes, for fuck's sake. It's your turn, mate. Michael Murray.
Oh, Michael. Dearest. Oh, Michael, thank you so much. Dearest Stamford Chidge and Duke of Kid. Duke of Kid. Sorry, I have to do that every time. I hope you're both well and over the colds. I'm just getting overwhelmed myself. Funny you should say that, Michael, because I'm not. I'm still got this thing in my chest. But anyway, just a few things. I noticed a lot of games where Sterling never tracked back and Palmer did track back, but now they've seemed to switch roles with Sterling starting to track back. And has Poch finally realised that Colwell has not a lot of pace, needs help tracking back when we're being countered on? Clearly not, because he keeps picking him. I think it'll all change now that Chilwell is fit. Has JK noticed Sterling has come away from the Gillette adverts? I saw him this week. He was on a Gillette one this week. Perhaps they've got a new one and they're you know, alternating them, because he was definitely on this week. Anyway, never mind. But I suspect that the worse he plays, and that if he doesn't play for England, his status will be less, and he won't be chosen. Also, we bought lots of wingers in the last few transfer windows, so why did he feel the need to play Chilwell as a winger and not at left back? Makes so much sense, right? I think it's because he thinks he's a better winger than any of the others that we've got.
Well, that might be true, but... I think he was doing it to try and manage the game out against Fulham.
Yeah, the Fulham game. Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So better to put you know, somebody who can go forward and be good at being a winger, but who can also get back and defend.
And defend, absolutely.
And he's quite tall.
Indeed. And then, do we think that Moises! Do we think that Moises can be the next Kante if his game comes together? Yes, because one game he will look like prime Kante. I agree completely. Next game he looks like prime Jokanović. Well said. Well said, Michael.
Yes, well said.
I love it.
Well said.
Absolutely. Same with Enzo as well. Yeah. Absolutely right. Yeah. I'm seeing signs of Moises looking a little bit less flustered. And it's not only the Kante thing, it's the Makélélé thing of... The Kante thing is getting the ball and putting it into good positions, having nicked it. But the Makélélé thing was nicking the ball and he kind of sort of stuck himself against a player and just towed the ball away, which I've noticed Moises doing more and more. So I'm as long as we see progress in them, I'm beginning to think, well, actually, yeah, he could do well. As long as we don't watch them being... It's the shit side of it. Watching the shit one worries me. You think, oh, don't play shit in this game, please, because you were good last one. So I want to see the progress sort of, you know, on a crescendo rather than dip, get better. But I think I fear that may be the way it is. But yes, the odd ridiculous Jokanović moment. Ye gods, what was Ranieri thinking? But then what was Ranieri thinking most of the time? Right, on with the email. With new changes coming out against Everton and Forest, do we worry that we might be hit as well? New charges, I'm so sorry, start again. With new charges coming out against Everton and Forest, do we worry we might be hit as well? But I think the very fact that Everton and Forest have come up and we haven't, I think reveals a lot, actually, about whether we will or not, because I'd have thought we would have been included in this if there was a case to be had. I think they've got it all sorted. I really do. I think that it's going to be very difficult for them to find any traction with Chelsea, because I think they've all got all their lawyers are top banana, and I think they did it having consulted top lawyers. Otherwise, they wouldn't have dived in. That would have been so foolish. But we will see. Anyway, and when will all this bollocks with Gallagher being transferred this month stop? Agree completely. Michael.
It won't stop because it fuels the media's clicks.
Completely. But it's just...
He's already said, I'll do my Wolf of Wall Street again. I'm not leaving!
He's got a year and a half contract. He doesn't need to make a decision. No. Exactly. He may leave in the summer, possibly. And selling him may be good for FFP. But he's our best player. Surely those Yanks are not that silly, seriously. No, but I don't think the Yanks should be tarred with that brush. I think this is just a... this is because we've become a banter club. You can say whatever you like. Mike, you can put, oh, God, they're selling their best player. And everybody will go, oh. Yeah,
apparently Palmer's going to Real Madrid next month.
Of course he is. Absolutely. Seriously, also, where do these stats gurus get their stats for the players that we buy? Is it the wounded list? Because half the players we bought have ended up injured. Yeah, well, particularly in Nkunku, who you just realises possibly.
And Labia.
And Labia, yeah. That was the worst, though, wasn't it? He comes and makes his debut as a sub and gets injured somewhere else on his body.
He's clearly a fanny, mate.
I think the thing is that you get those injuries, don't you, that if one part of your body's not working properly, the other one decides to chuck it in as well. Anyway, they're normally older people's problems, but I remember that...
I know the feeling.
Yeah, hey, I was about to say. But Spacker's had big hamstring problems, and it's traced back to his back, I remember. Yeah. I remember reading a thing about it and knowing that if you have a slight kink in your back, it can affect your lower limbs.
You know why that is, don't you?
Tell me why that is, Chichi.
Because your ankle bone's connected to your knee bone. Your knee bone's connected to your thigh bone.
Your thigh bone's connected to your cock bone. Anyway, oh no, that's a port, isn't it? Cock bone. Sorry, I do.
Coburn, mate.
It's not
moss cock.
No, yes, indeed. Because half the players we bought have ended up injured. But you can also put it down to the pitches, as they're rock hard now. I don't think it's down to the pitches. They pour water over them so much. I think it's what I think we've established the other day when we were, once again, another Athletic article talking about the different hamstring injuries that people get through doing actions that aren't, they're not used to. So it's like running backwards, you know, that thing that refs do. Can actually put great stress on your hamstrings. And if you've been doing a lot of that and you're not used to doing that, then you're going to tear it. It's just, you need to somehow replicate that in the training. So they've got to give them specific stuff to do. Anyway, I'd love to see Reece James in the 80s trying to run through a mud bath and pull his hamstring. But he probably wouldn't, because they'd have got so used to playing that way. And they all weren't, none of them was put upon the same strain and stress that all these players are put upon in the Premier League. It's twice as quick, the football. And I think the thing you have to put up with in that era in the 80s was being kicked in the shin and the referee doing nothing about it. You know, with them just doing play on, man's game, get up, nothing wrong with you. You know, and his bone has been protruding from his leg. Anyway, and lastly, will we beat Middlesbrough next Tuesday? But if I think we will, but if they come and park the bus, will we struggle to break them down just like the first leg? Yes, Hey, he must come up with something. Or will he? Will it be the same problem? Because they will play exactly the same way. Will he start Broya instead of this false nine bollocks that has worked so well under previous management? Right? Ha, 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 ha. Yes, indeed, it hasn't. And it worked occasionally with Hazard, but even it didn't usually work with him, did it? And if we did go all the way and win the final, would we be happy with Conference League so we can say we've really won it, as if we were to go on and win it, like West Ham, of course?
Won it all.
We've won it all, yeah. Or are we? Except we haven't won the Beezer League windows, have we?
Or the Johnson's Paint Trophy.
Yeah, we never won
that. Or whatever
one.
It is now.
Or the Anglo-Scots.
Isn't it a pizza?
Yeah, Pete, isn't it?
Papa John's trophy now, isn't
it?
Yeah. Do you remember the Texaco Cup?
Yeah.
Wasn't there a Watney's Cup as well?
It was.
It was, wasn't there?
There was. Well,
fucking
remember.
Hell, mate.
Yeah. I think some of them were applied to the League Cup, though, weren't they?
No. Well, later, yeah. The Rumbelows Cup.
Yeah.
The Milk Cup.
Littlewood's Cup.
Carling
Milk,
Cup.
The Milk Cup.
Yeah, Milk Cup. There's a whole load of them, actually. Yeah.
Rumbelows doesn't exist anymore.
No.
Anyway. Or are we hoping to finish top five, maybe get Champions League if fifth will be an extra place for the Premier League? Well, as has been stated in previous mail, the chances of us getting any points to get near the top lot are very, very slim. And Chidge, how are you getting on with the Kerry Dixon banners?
Oh, dear.
My missus thinks I'm not getting one. Mm. Oh, I've tried to explain you're a busy man, but she's not having it. Ha ha. I need to get it put up so she can choke on her words and maybe something else. I don't think you put the mini banners up, do you? You just pin them up. So is he expecting a bigger banner?
I don't know. I mean, they're about... How big's that? About a foot and a half long, maybe?
That's your hand you've got up there.
No, you can't really see, can you? But... No, they're about the size of a computer keyboard.
Yeah,
they're actually almost exactly the same size as a computer keyboard. Michael, you have caught me out, and I'm in utterly in shame here.
He's bowing his head.
Yes, I am. I mean, look, I don't have any excuse. I just haven't found the time to fucking stuff them all in envelopes and then go to the post office, mate. That's the trouble. But I will. I'm having the week off at half term, so that's the middle of February. So if I haven't got them out before then, I will definitely get them then, because I'll have time
to remind you.
Yeah, you won't need to, because I have it on my to-do list, like your YouTube thing as well. It's another thing I feel shamed about. Yes, I know.
Yes.
I know. I am very busy, I know, but so
I know, I know. But it's not good enough.
It's not good enough, anyway. And I'm very sorry. And everybody who's waiting for a banner, and there are now quite a lot of you, I apologise. I will get my finger out my arse, and you will get them very soon, I promise, okay? So I would say, at the absolute latest, I will be sending them off in the middle of February, between the 12th and the 16th, and that is Scouts Honour. I will not fail you, I promise.
Okay, those are stern words. Mm. I will not fail you, I promise. Good. Anyway, all the best and up the Chelsea, he says at the end.
There we go. Good old Michael.
Michael LaBeouf Murray.
Lovely stuff. Lovely. Good to hear from him, as always, actually. Right. Last email of the week, or month, should we say, this time. And it is from our dear old friend, JP McCrate, who I love to pieces. I've known him for years now, since we've been doing this. I haven't seen him for ages. I hope you're well, mate. Dear Sir Stamford Bridge. Okay, I like that. And Earl Duke of Kidd Esquire. I like that too. The Debenhams Cup. Nathan's come up with one I didn't know. Anyway, I got distracted. I hope this message finds you all well. I hope this email has been delivered on a golden cushion by Jeeves, and he is holding one's cups of warm salt water in wait to gargle in preparation to read this out. Well, I tell you what, JP, you must be psychic, because we've both been struggling with our coughs tonight, haven't we? Maybe we should have been gargling with salt water. Anyway.
Yeah, we should have.
If all else fails, Chidge's scrumpy sounds like it will do the trick. I have it here, as JK can attest to.
Yes, there it is. Yes.
And it's looking a bit cloudy, actually, the last remnants of the bottle I opened last night.
I was about to say, it's a cloudy look, isn't it?
That's more like scrumpy tonight.
Yes, it's...
It was very clear last night, wasn't it?
Very clear. You couldn't tell. I was thinking, blimey, that's a clear... Clear sample.
It's good. It's good, mate. Yeah. But I think when you get to the bottom of the bottle, that's where all the sediment is, and it gets a bit cloudy.
Yeah. But is that good for you, that sediment?
Oh, it's all good for you, mate.
Okay.
It's got me through the show, you know.
Hey, you need that.
So there you go. So yes, JP, it is doing the trick. Right, I want to express my sincere appreciation for your hard work and dedication in entertaining us through your podcast. Very kind of you, JP. Your commitment is truly commendable, and I look forward to each episode with anticipation. Recently, I've been tuning into the Obi-Wan podcast, gaining valuable insights into the minds of the Champions League winning side and its players and managers as they discuss an era gone by of success and discuss modern players and the state of Chelsea FC. I have to say, it's worthwhile watch listen for any Chelsea football supporter. Mate, absolutely. I've been listening to them all, and they are absolutely brilliant. Apart from one thing, I don't like the Scottish bloke who does them. It would have been much better if it had been me. But other than that, they're perfect. And I like Obi, yeah. And I mean, the guests he's had has just been tremendous, hasn't he? Anyway. However, as I reflect on Chelsea's current situation, I can't help but feel a stark contrast from the championship-winning side to what we have now. No shit, Sherlock. The recent Middlesbrough game exemplifies our struggles. Despite having chances, there was a noticeable lack of conviction and a desire to win. While I may lack expertise in football psychology or tactics, it's evident that our team is grappling with performance issues that extend beyond the current managerial setup. Yes, agreed. Pochettino, in my opinion, is not solely to blame. What was I saying earlier? The root issue seems to lie in the board's approach to achieving success. The OB podcast highlighted the leadership and winning mentality integral to our past successes, which seems lacking in the current era. I find it perplexing that we no longer have Chelsea legends involved in managerial or behind-the-scenes roles. This departure from tradition raises concerns about the club's current management. I sincerely hope lessons are being learned to rectify the situation, as the current process of dismantling and rebuilding does not appear to be yielding positive results. In conclusion, I'd like to pose a question that's been weighing on my mind. Do you believe the current board has the capability to address these issues and guide Chelsea back to success? The uncertainty surrounding the club's future has left me conflicted and disheartened. I understand this is a complex issue, but I value your honest opinions on whether we can expect improvement in the foreseeable future. Thank you for providing a platform for fans like me to share our frustrations and concerns. I eagerly await your insights on the matter. Warm regards, John Paul, JP McCrate. Yeah, very good question. Very good question.
I think so.
You think they will?
Yeah.
Why? What evidence have you got to back that up?
I have no evidence to back it up. I merely have the promises they made when they bought the club. And whether Danny Finkelstein and Barbara, whatever her name is, got a surname, on the board managed to influence them in some way to change their tune, or whether after a bit they appreciate that the theory of using data-driven underachievers, which I'm afraid is possibly because the only success they had at the time was with Brighton, these two boys. But I also think it's dependent on... I just think they will throw money at it as much as they can.
They've thrown money at it and it's been a fucking omni-shambles.
I know, but I think they will, if they change their... They will come up with a different way of trying to do it because that is their promise was to make the club the best club in the world. I mean, I suppose that every new owner comes in and thinks they're going to try that with every team. But you'd have thought this lot with the huge amount of money that they have will ultimately create something that works. I have faith in that because I think it may take a very long time, may take much longer than they ever thought, but I think they will learn from their mistakes. Well, I have faith in that. I have faith in that.
Okay. Number one, I don't think Danny and if they're listening and I've got this wrong, I hope, you know, I stand to be corrected by you both. You're welcome on this podcast anytime you want. But my hunch, because it is only that, it's not based on any facts or evidence, is that Danny, who's a lovely bloke, and Barbara, who I've met a couple of times, seems very lovely, and I know that they're both very much proper Chelsea fans. But I don't think they really have any particular clout on that board. We all know where that clout is. And I think nothing will change unless the owners start to listen to people who know about football.
May they start doing that? They might start doing that.
Who knows?
If the results don't work, if the results are... If it carries on being average,
who knows?
Who knows? Indeed, but I suspect that there will be a shift in competence.
Well, we don't know, but I'm telling you now, it won't change unless they do, because what they've proven so far is that they haven't got a fucking Scooby, and everybody in football has been saying the same.
Yeah, well, that's why. It would make sense for it to change.
Yes, it would. But that takes a lot of character and humility to admit that you were wrong and change. And then my suspicion is people who are like that, who are very successful and used to getting it right all the time, don't tend to have a lot of humility. They have a lot of belief that they're actually right and everybody can fuck off because they're wrong.
And on the other hand, though, if they're in a position where they're always having success with everything they do, occasionally they start off with things that don't work and they have to shift. So perhaps this might be an instance of them admitting that they got something wrong and then attempting to create a different team of people. But let us see, as you say, Chidge, it is the proof of the pudding will be in the eating.
I know, but I said this, you know, when they took over. I said, you know, we should all be fair on them and we should all give them a chance, you know, because it would be wrong to just pitch in right now saying it's going to be an absolute fucking disaster and I wish they'd all fuck off now. I said that would be stupid because, you know, you've got to give them a chance. But I did say the trouble is by giving them a chance is that by the time you've seen that chance being in operation, the damage that they could have done to the club would be catastrophic and it would take us years to recover. If you don't believe me, check out CFC UK, check out these podcasts about you know, a few weeks after they turned up.
But do you really think that they could, that it would be catastrophic, that what they've created now has rendered it catastrophic in terms of recovery?
From my position and my viewpoint, yes. But I don't. It is recoverable. But it's like Tony Evans. Tony Evans, who I like a lot, he's a bit of a Marmite character that I know. But he's a very bright man, and he knows football, and he knows, he knows the culture in this country of football. And he said it when he came on our show. When did we have Liverpool? They were like the first or second match.
First game of the season. Yeah.
First game of the season. So he hadn't even kicked a ball yet, and he came on, and he said, "Yeah." He said, "This is the trouble with American owners. We had the same at Liverpool, and they fucked it up." And then they had to change it all and start listening to people. But in the meantime, they did about 4 or 5 years damage. And I compared it, didn't I, a few weeks ago? I said, look at Liverpool during that period when they were hiring idiots like Roy Hodgson.
Well, I'm not giving a time on it. I'm giving in Liverpool's case, the owners left.
Yeah, well, Hicks and Gillette.
But they were similarly from. It still took Liverpool a couple of 3 years before Klopp got it right.
Yeah, but even the Fenway group came in and didn't improve things. I mean, they didn't get it right.
What happened
with Fenway group is they hired Klopp, who was a manager of substance and character, who told them to back the fuck off. And they also had Michael Edwards, who's the best director of football in the game, apparently.
Well, perhaps that's as their desire is to hire the best people, is that's what they think they were doing when they did the huge turnaround.
Well, they wanted Michael Edwards, but he was on gardening leave and he wanted a break. So he said no. So they did try and hire him, and he's allegedly the best. But maybe he was the best for Liverpool at that time, and maybe he's no longer the best, because there's always that possibility.
But is he still the...
I think so, he is, humble. Yeah. But I'm telling you now, fucking Win Stanley and Stewart ain't it, mate.
Yes, they don't appear to be having much success.
You look at their track record, Brighton, Monaco.
I said this earlier, the previous one. Yeah.
They don't. I mean, you know, if you want to genuinely be, I mean, this is the thing that really fucks me off most. Is that yes, I know Roman, you know, he wasn't perfect. Yes, I know that we used to disagree and be crabby about a lot of the things that they did. It wasn't perfect. Everybody knows that. But what he did was he catapulted us into being an elite European football club. We won 2 Champions Leagues under his reign. We won 5 Premier Leagues. You know, we were an elite European football club, feared across Europe. We were serious. We were a serious fucking proposition as a football club. And yes, we needed to change things. Even I accept that. But the thing is, you were building from a position of strength. You were building from a massive foundation. You didn't have to come in and rip the fuck up out of it. To just because you think you know better. You just had to tweak what was, you know, improve what was bad and keep what was good and build on that. And it was such a great position to be in, and they fucked it. That's what really pisses me off. Just because they think they know better. And we will see. We won't know for 5 years. And I said it the other week. What really pisses me off most is that I could have been looking forward to a nice, comfortable, you know, maybe I've got 10, 15 years left of, you know, having a season ticket, watching Chelsea play. So I think a nice, comfortable kind of like pre-retirement, you know, still watch us winning stuff every year, loving it. And now I'm going to have to like experience my fucking youth again when we were rubbish. And I'm pissed off about it because I don't deserve that, you know, frankly, you know. So there you go. Although, as I have to say, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. It's not why I go. I go because I like the people that I go with. It's always been the way, you know. So
it's fun having them play wonderfully and win.
Yeah, it is. It's much better. But
that was something that we built up with.
I know.
We accompanied the team all the way through these seasons of getting better and better, having the odd downside, and then becoming, as you say, an elite European club with great players. And yes, they have completely eviscerated that in a very short space of time. But surely they're aware of this. Surely they're seeing, oops, what the fuck have we done? Surely they must be able to assess this.
I don't know. I think maybe they only really focus on the bottom line. You know, they are money men after all.
But they know if it was the club was back to where it was before, they'd be even bigger earners.
I know.
They must. So this is, I have this optimistic view of it, because I just think that they will make it work, just because it is the biggest market in the world that they could make absolute millions and millions out of. If, for example, you know, if Real Madrid is the example, you know, and I know that their fiat is behind them, but they have huge amounts of money, these people. So Clear Lake.
Let us see.
It's a journey, isn't it?
It is a journey. And
journey of adventure.
I mean, you know, honestly, I had so much fun moaning for an entire half with John, who's a similar vintage to us. It's always been about the whole package for me. I'm hopefully mature enough to understand that it's not just about the winning. You can't expect to win all the time. It's lovely when you do. I mean, it gives you so much joy. I mean, I've had so much joy for the last 20 or 25 years seeing us win stuff that I mean, you know, back in the 90s, I never thought we'd win an FA Cup again, let alone anything else.
Oh, so indeed.
It's been a joy, and we've been so lucky and privileged to witness it all. And I mean, particularly me, because, you know, I've had a season ticket for that entire time. I didn't have a season ticket in the 90s. I wasn't living anywhere near London, and it was very different for me. So I'm just doubly privileged, really. But, you know, even if we were in the third division, I'd still fucking go, because I just love going. It's as simple as that, you know? Mm. So there you go. That's kind of a really... But well done, JP. That was a lovely... You gave us a bit of an excuse to have a talk about that, which was always quite nice. So there you go. Right, that, I'm afraid, is all we've got time for tonight. JK and Dan Silver will be back, and me, of course, will be back on Monday night to preview Tuesday night's Caribou Cup semi-final second leg match against Middlesbrough. So Monday night will be a preview show. And then on Thursday night, we'll also be doing a preview show because, of course, we've got Villa on Friday and the FA Cup. So we've got two preview shows. Well, I mean, Thursday night will also be a bit of a review show because obviously we'll be talking about the Borough game. But you get my drift anyway. So we'll be back on Monday at 7:30 as always. We will do another In Off The Post show when I've got enough emails and all the rest of it. So if you want your email, Patreon, Instagram post, tweet or Facebook message read out on the show, then let us have them as soon as you can. Email address is chelseafancast@gmail.com. You can follow the show on all the social media, at Chelsea Fancast, me at Stamford Shears, Jonathan at Jonathan Kidd. And Jonathan, what a delight to see you two nights in a row. People will start to talk.
Let them.
Yeah, absolutely. Enjoy tomorrow. What have you got planned tomorrow?
I've got to do this self-tape.
Mm.
It will take me a long time for this... a comedy villain, which it's a nice script and nice lines, but you know, you're going into the realm of not the cattle market. You're going to hundreds of other people up for not hundreds. It's a decent casting director. There'll be, you know, five or six people up for it, and you've got to do a good job. So I have to film myself, and I'm learning the lines at the moment, and it's funny. It's a kind of Del Boy character, which I can do on me ear, Chidge. So I'm learning the lines, and I'm going to shoot it. I've got the lighting set up, and I'm going to record the other. I've got to act with someone else, and my girlfriend isn't going to do it. I'm going to record it and then act with myself having recorded it. So that gets it gets technically quite difficult, as you understand.
Yeah.
I've got five scenes to do, so one of them I have to take my clothes off. So
I knew there was a reason. I knew there was a reason you'd be doing it.
Yeah, exactly. But luckily, because I don't care when I get my dick out. But luckily, it's covered with a piece of newspaper.
Have you got a fluffer?
No, I don't need it to be. How can I put it? Tumescent. I don't need it to be up. It's covered with a newspaper. So I'm going to be doing that.
Is it a broadsheet?
It would have to be. It could be one of those small issues, you know,
like the fanzine.
Yeah, exactly. Perfectly well said. Yeah, it could be fanzine size. Yeah, the way things are going at the moment with it. I normally have to screw it on because I keep it in a bag in the wardrobe, a velvet bag. So yeah, so I'm doing that. That'll annoyingly will take a very long time to do, just because I'm so annoyingly perfectionist that I will take a shot of it and look at it and go, oh God, I could do it better than that. Then I have to edit it together.
Oh, no, I know.
Final cut. So it's this just doing us when they say self-tape, I go, oh, that's it. I think, oh God, the number of hours that's going to take me. But, and then you don't hear anything. Though I've got a couple of things from doing self-tape. So
good. Well, fun. Don't work too hard. And I hope it works out. I'm going to London tomorrow for a very quick lunch with some friends of mine from France, the one who owns the vineyard in Burgundy.
Oh, yeah, you said. Yeah, good stuff. Yeah.
So that'd be nice. So I look forward to seeing them.
Do they drink specifically excellent wine as a consequence at lunchtime? Do they?
Well, no, we're going to Circe's, actually, the champagne bar at St. Pancras, because they're getting on the train pretty much.
Of course you are. You're just seeing them there, aren't you?
Yeah. But when I went to see them in Burgundy, it was like he was picking out bottles of wine that had no label or anything on them. Oh, yeah, this is this one, yeah. And these like 80 quid bottles of wine, and every bottle was like just nectar from the gods, you know, reds, whites, Aligotti's, you name it. And it just pulling them out like homebrew. It was just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Lovely bloke, known him for years. So there you go. So I shall have some fun tomorrow, and then I'll get on to doing the old Monday night notes and script. So there you go. Right. You lot out there, lovely to see you again. Thank you for listening. We'll see you on Monday. Until then, keep it blue, keep it carefree, and keep it chills.
Yeah,
the chills!
You're shit. I mean, you got it. You do it, don't you?
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.